This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Delta Sports. Sitting here looking at the numbers, his QBR when he won the MVP was 117.1. Last year,
not nitpicking, that's quarterback rating. The quarterback rating and QBR is two different things.
Okay, no, you're right. So his QBR was 79.4 when he won the MVP.
I don't know what the hell that means. Like I said, I don't
know.
Let's
just go by the rate. Yeah. Isn't that the one we usually go by?
Yeah, the rating is what we usually use. QBR rating's different.
Well, forget QBR. Yeah. QBR can go to hell.
Because no one knows what the hell it means.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
He had a QBR of 117. Went back to average in
2017. QBR, he had a rating of 117.
Jesus Christ. He had a rating of 117. We still call it the quarterback rating, though, don't
I know,
we?
But you don't shorten it to QBR.
What the hell is a QBR?
No one knows!
Jesus.
On 1340 WKGN.
I have a definition if you want it.
You can read it to me. I've read it a million times. I still don't know what the hell means. To be fair, I don't really know what the hell quarterback rating means either.
Hour number two, Cam holding us down in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We love our White Claw. 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. We got some up here at the Axe House. They got some of our favorite local establishments in Knoxville. We got some in your grocery store, variety packs. Stop by and pick you up one. 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. Only 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar. You still get 5% alcohol. Please drink responsibly this weekend. All right, Draven, an hour two headlines. Hit me with your best shot, please. Fire away.
Well, I guess I got to start with this local news. You just told me. Man, seems kind of big. A federal judge has ordered Knox County schools to implement mask policy with no output. Or opt-out. Excuse me. No opt-out while, what did I say, output?
You're doing so well.
I know.
So all staff and students will have to wear masks in schools because a lawsuit by families of disabled children is playing out. The ruling takes place immediately. Wow. U.S. District Judge J. Ronnie Greer, how's that for a name? J. Ronnie Greer also blocked Governor Bill Lee's executive order allowing Knox County schools parents to opt out of the mask mandate. So it's only in this, it only applies to the school district. Four Knox County families are suing Lee and the Knox County Board of Education and say that they are failing to make reasonable accommodations for their disabled children who are at a higher risk of getting severely sick from COVID-19. They argue that without a mask requirement, their children cannot learn safely in person. Federal judge agreed, at least for now.
How do you think the parents of these schools are going to respond? Because I don't know about you guys, but I've seen a lot of videos of parents protesting the whole mask mandates that are getting put in some schools.
I mean, I'd say in most instances, the parents have been more upset than the kids.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially when you get to a certain grade. But, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the rules are. Like, are there any opt-outs in terms of, like, going back to digital learning?
Yeah.
Can you just pull your kid out of school instead of making them wear a mask? Will there be people just move out of Knox County school districts? I don't know.
Seems like it's going to be pretty problematic, I would say.
We'll see how long it lasts. I don't know how long they think this lawsuit will go on.
It just got put in. This is all today, right? As of like 20 minutes ago.
And they said it's like, and they said it's like as they try to decide, with these lawsuits. So
okay. Kind of crazy. Yeah. That's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be ugly to say the least. Some entertainment news for you guys. Hayden, Tiger King season 2, here we go, round 2, we are back, coming to Netflix once again, confirmed, the Tiger King season one, of course, a lot of, what was that, last summer, right? Not this past summer, summer before.
Last spring, I thought.
Was it spring? Spring,
yeah,
summer,
sure,
whatever.
COVID,
like, yeah, when it's kind of first started.
It was like February, March.
Oh, really? I didn't think it was that
it
early.
It came out like in like early March.
So right when the pandemic hit.
Well, no, it had been out for probably 2 or 3 weeks before lockdowns happened, because I watched it like the first like week of lockdown, basically, and it had already been out for a couple weeks. So.
Okay.
It was like maybe like March 1st.
I guess it got more maybe popular later, I guess. Because I mean,
first episode premiered March 20th, 2020.
Wow.
March what?
20th.
That's surprising. When did we go into lockdown? I guess April?
The last week of March, pretty much. Like it was like, I want to say around the 23rd or so.
Because I know I was at a wedding on the 8th. Because
our...
You know, we had to do anything. And like people were out on like St. Patrick's Day. I remember that.
Yeah. And then I think the week after that, I think is when it shut down.
Okay.
Like, fully.
Okay. So that kind of lines up, like I said, it being out a week. But
yeah, we were supposed to go to Hops that day to do a remote for the SC tournament game.
Right, but that we didn't go to lockdown at that point. We just canceled sports.
Okay,
I'm talking about, like, lockdown in terms of, like, you were supposed to stay in your house and not go anywhere.
Because that Tennessee and Alabama game was on the 12th.
I want to say that was just, like, at the first week of April. Like, they basically had, like,
that's what I was kind of thinking. That. Maybe even a little bit later.
Either way, they're not getting me with season two. I don't care.
I was going to ask, did you guys watch any of season one?
I watched season one. Interview him from jail?
Yeah.
Is that what they're going to do?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, maybe he'll have some funny things about how Trump kind of lied to him about getting him pardoned. Or, like, yeah, he thought Trump was going to get – maybe he'll probably have some good lines about that. But, nope, they're not getting me. They got me with season one. It was entertaining enough.
I didn't watch the end of season – or I didn't really. I watched, like, the first couple episodes. But, so is he still – like, he's in jail right now? He's currently in jail?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like a long sentence, didn't he?
Yeah, like, he's not getting out of jail. His only hope was that Trump was going to, like, pardon him.
That,
and Trump didn't.
Yes, so, like, I say that never happened. All right. So, no excitement at all. Cam, did you get into Tiger King? You're our animal guy. Did you like it any?
I watched the first season. It was – I had actually, like, heard of that zoo before, but not to that extent. Stuff about, like, Joe Exotic either. It was in Oklahoma's where – his zoo was, but it was all right. Like it was interesting, but that whole like kind of industry's always been super weird like that with the, you know, when you work with, you gotta be a little crazy to work with big cats and stuff like that much. So I'm not watching season two either. I can't do any more of that.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people just watch season one just because of the timing too.
Yeah,
just with the pandemic, nothing really on. So really, the next thing that got going on Twitter a little bit, I feel like that's what everybody was going to hop on next. So
I'm good on season two. There's no updates that they can give me that I haven't either already seen, or I don't care enough to.
What about this though? This might get you a little bit more excited. This gets me a little excited, John. Another little entertainment news for you. Mario, a movie about Mario, and just, I guess, what would they call it? The Super Bros? Is that what they're going for here? Is that the storyline? Do we know? What are you looking at me like that for?
I haven't read a ton about it yet, but...
Wait, this seems big when you have Chris Pratt.
The cast is nuts.
Mario in this as well. It's a big name.
I saw people say they have...
Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong?
Let the Irish overtake the Italians when it comes to the story of Mario.
Charlie Day as Luigi?
I mean, like, when I think of Charlie Day, I think of nothing but, like, Irish. Like, I don't know if it's because of Patty's Pub on Always Sunny, but, like, I don't know. I can't picture him as Luigi.
Jack Black as Bowser?
That's my favorite one.
I was going to say, that'll be pretty good.
I saw that Seth Rogen as Kong.
Yep. Donkey Kong indeed, yep.
There's already plenty of videos on the internet where they've put his laugh over, like, videos of Donkey Kong.
Is it good?
It's pretty funny.
I like Seth Rogen.
So, excitement level for this movie?
You guys, 1 out of 10.
Seriously, what's your problem, man?
When's it coming out?
I don't know.
2022.
December 21st. Yeah,
it's right in front of your face.
2022.
2022. So yeah, a year from now.
Yeah, so it's still gonna be a while, but okay. You know. I think it'll be interesting. This is a
Does
great
it say
cast.
Anything about the plot? Like, is it going to be like? Are they going with like? Is it meant for adults or is it meant
Keegan
for kids?
Michael Key.
I don't know. It's like a video game of adaption.
Right.
I'm not sure the plot.
Like, are they
going
to do a little bit, you know, more adult comedy? Or
I'm not sure.
Trying to get
the chick from Queen's Gambit is playing Princess Peach.
Yeah. Anna Taylor Joy. Is that her name? Yeah. Right. Anna Taylor Joy. So. Yeah.
It's a good cast. It's just like
it's a great
never
cast.
With a guest. You know,
you guys, like, you guys like the Mario Luigi? You guys like? Do you guys play the video games into the story there? Saving was it Peach the princess? Were you guys doing that back on the older games?
Yeah, I ran the DS up.
Okay, I like it. I used to play it on the GameCube way back in the day. Okay, well, no excitement. Cool. I'm excited.
Are you excited for the Mario movie?
Yes, I'm curious.
By the way, what's the plot of that going to be? That's the only thing. It's like,
when's the last good Mario movie that's come out? You act like this has been done 100 times.
I don't think there's ever been a good one. There was like a Mario's Brothers movie that came out. I remember watching it as a kid. It was not very good.
Was it like cartoon or was it
it was live action. Yeah.
See, that's the problem.
Was it really?
Yeah.
You can't have a six-foot Mario running around.
Super Mario Brothers, 1993. Yeah, it's a movie.
Wow.
I mean, it's not received well. Russell, did you watch that one, the Super Mario Brothers movie? No? 28% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's not terrible.
John Leguizamo was Luigi. I don't know if you know who that is. Bob Hoskins is Mario. I don't know who the hell that is, but at least I know who Luigi is. Either way.
Got an NFL headline. Talk a little bit of sports here. And
this ain't no
headline.
Game was a tagline.
What? On that? On that movie?
Yeah. I think maybe they just played some plumbers.
Who was saying it? Mario? This ain't no game. So we have some announcements in the NFL for the postseason, for the playoffs, guys. The super, super wild card weekend will now include a Monday night football game. They used to do, what, 3 games Saturday, 3 games Sunday? I believe the announcement will be 2 Saturday.
Well, when you say they used to do it, they've only done that for 1 year. I mean, like, before there were only 2 games each. So, like, it's not that big of a difference. I saw some people act like, oh, they're changing this. Why couldn't they just leave it well enough alone? Like, last year was just the first year they had the 3 games. I'm completely fine without having a 1 o'clock Saturday playoff game. That's the one that's going to get moved. Yeah. I'm completely fine with that. It's 10 a.m. on the West Coast. I'm sure they're happy about it. This is also, I think, a pretty big statement for how the NFL feels about their new relationship with ESPN. Because, you know, for a while it was rumored like, hey, you know, they don't really like ESPN. That's why they give them the worst game on that Thursday, you know, that first Saturday. It's the Toilet Bowl. You'll get to, like, watch the Bengals play the Texans or somebody like that. And now they're like, hey, you know what? Actually, we're going to give you a primetime Monday Night Football game, and we're going to get a lot of eyeballs on there. It does seem a little tough, you know, to – hey, guys, you got to play an extra game, 17 of them now. And also, we're going to give you another
short week.
Although, I mean, it happens sometimes, the team playing on Sunday, having to play on Saturday. So it happens from time to time, but now you're guaranteed to have it happen.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do the Monday night team on that Sunday.
Yeah, 100%. But at the same time, like, when you're playing on the Saturday of Wild Card Weekend, you're not guaranteed to play on Saturday. Yeah. You know, sometimes they put you on Sunday and vice versa. But I want to know how they're going to determine it. Is it still going to be the worst game? You can't put, like, your 2 seed on there, right? Like, you can't put, like, Tom Brady on there, right? Like, I mean, like...
I mean, I kind of feel like it's going to be one of the better games just because it's that. That's it. That's the one game. It's kind of the more prime time a little bit when you have,
I would guess,
I don't know,
they
games
keep
all day.
I would guess they kind of keep it with the worst game.
NBA's got to hate this, right?
The NBA has to hate it?
Because it's that MLK day is that Monday, I think.
Oh, it is.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Because it's the Monday after the college football championship.
And that's MLK Day?
Yeah, usually.
And I thought ESPN had a full day of basketball that day, so yeah, they can't be happy about it.
Guess I'll have, what, NBA early in the day and cap it off with the NFL playoff game?
Yep, maybe that's why the NFL is doing it.
Yeah.
Move to Christmas, and then they're like, okay, now we're going to take over.
Yeah, they do have games on Christmas night, too, don't they? A doubleheader?
Yep. Yeah, yep. Was it one game last year?
Yeah, they had the Saints. That was a Kamara game.
That was
the
only one, right?
Saints, what was it, Vikings, I want to say?
When he scored 6 games, right. 6 touchdowns.
I know the Browns-Packers believe they play on Christmas Day this year. So.
All right, good batch of headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
So you're watching the game, and you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook.
Back on the program, we are live at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. Axes for Heroes. Military, police, fire, EMTs, and medical professionals can throw for half off and get 10% off food and retail anytime. Pay it forward. Heroes get a free beer, and you can pay it forward for a hero. Something
that they do here. That's pretty cool for the people helping take care of us. They have loaded us down with food as well. We have eaten too much. No, get them out of here. Yeah, get them out of here. We're too loaded down on food. All the food has been delicious. The little cheese bites. The mini corn dogs.
Oh, goodness.
I've saved enough room for maybe two pieces of that meaty pizza.
You got to take a bite of the burger as well, my friend. The burger is something else.
You guys said the brisket was great. I am not going to partake in it because I'm full. Other than those, I got just enough room for two pieces of pizza. That's all I got.
Saving it up, huh?
That's it. Some big NFL news. I'm surprised you didn't put on headlines. Your boy.
I figure we could talk a little bit more about it.
Your boy, Carson Wentz, practicing today.
Wow.
Which means that he could start on Sunday in Nashville.
What a warrior. What a warrior, Hayden. I mean, two sprained ankles, and there's a decent-sized chance that he's going to actually play Sunday. I mean, already practicing on, what, Friday? Like, how crazy is that? John, I don't know. I'd be a little bit worried, man. I'd be a little bit worried.
Board bet?
Just straight up? Just,
yep, no. If Wentz plays.
What about the spread?
No, board bet. You said they're going to be worried. Straight up. Titans versus Colts. If Wentz plays. If Wentz starts.
I mean, you got to think about just the motivation of the team for your quarterback to go out there with beat up to hell. And
it would be hard not to be.
The motivation there, my goodness.
It would be hard not to be hooting and hollering.
It would.
In the locker room.
Division rival.
Colts.
Kind of feels like the season's on the line.
0-2, the season is on the line.
It is. If they lose this game.
They could theoretically come out of that game in first place.
Uh-huh.
They could save the season on Sunday.
Yeah. All right, I'll board bet it.
Okay.
I'll board bet it.
If Carson Wentz starts.
Yes, yeah. If he doesn't start, no. It's off. It's off the table.
Okay. Lock it in, Hayden.
If Wentz plays.
Starts.
Okay, starts.
That's a fair distinction in case he has to come in emergency duty. No. In case he starts.
What if he goes out there and starts and then gets hurt again?
Then that doesn't matter. What do you want, like a snap count? You mean give me a snap count? Like he's.
I mean, kinda.
I mean, there's a pretty good chance that's what's going to happen if he does start. So no, you put me on upset alert. You followed up with it. That's fine. I'm just going to win my board bets while betting on the Titans. That's how I did it 2 years ago. Just roll the Titans playoff success to a board bet win.
Am I not winning the board bets right now?
No, it's we're all 500.
500.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Here is the current standings right here.
Everyone's 500.
Look at me making all these board bets. You guys are a bunch of cowards. Cowards, so, I say. Lock it in. Are you not a little bit more worried, though, honestly?
A little bit more worried than Brett Hundley? Sure.
Yeah, I would hope so.
If Brett Hundley or Jacob Eason was playing, sure. Like, I would have thought it was going to be a blowout. Does Carson Wentz worry me, though? No.
No.
I actually would prefer Carson Wentz to play. That way there's no excuses. I don't like excuses.
Right.
I don't. I don't want to have to hear, like, well, if we were healthy.
You're still going to hear that excuse.
No, he's playing.
Carson Wentz was 100%.
Well, that's the thing with Carson Wentz. There is no 100% with Carson Wentz at this point in his career. So, no, I hope he plays. I hope he goes out there, warrior, and I hope he holds the ball for 7 seconds and we sack him like 5 times. That's what I hope happens. That's what's going to happen if he plays.
Is that satisfactory for you there, Draven?
If Wentz plays, Colts over Titans. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Lock it in.
I'll put stars. Sorry. Important distinction. Okay. It's been locked in.
Try to think about what would be a more hurtful loss. Because, like I said, the scheduling gods always do this. They always put Florida and the Colts in my same football weekend. 2015 was one of the worst weekends of my life for that very reason. Two blown leads. Titans blew a 13-point lead. Tennessee blew a 13-point lead late in the game. That was a tough day. That was a tough weekend.
Who do you hate more? Florida? Still got to be Florida, right?
Yeah. I hate the Colts, but I view the Ravens as a bigger rivalry than the Colts, personally. Try to think about what would hurt worse, though. Losing to Carson Wentz on two sprained ankles or losing to Jacob Eason and Brett Hundley? What would be more embarrassing? What would hurt more? I guess losing to one of those schmohawks would hurt worse than losing to Carson Wentz. So I hope he plays for that reason as well.
How many years in a row have the Colts beat Tennessee and Nashville now? Last 2 years, it looks like.
Yeah,
let's see. 2018 went to Tennessee and won.
Whenever Luck retired, we won in Nashville.
In 2019?
No, Luck didn't retire in 2019. Luck's been gone for at least 3 years.
2018? He was there in 2018. He retired 2019. It's only been 2 years since he retired. Yeah.
He retired right before the season started 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Because
by the way, they did win in Nashville too.
I was at that one that we two game. Draft and
maybe it was the year before.
Was
Luck hurt the year before?
In 2018.
Yeah, there was like a Monday Night Football game that we played. It was like a Thursday.
They also won in Tennessee. That was the Week 17 game between Tennessee and Indianapolis, 2018. That was the year Indianapolis made the playoffs.
Might have been the year before.
Let's see, 17. They did lose in Tennessee Monday night.
In 2017?
Yeah, and it was Brissett who started. So
okay. So I guess Luck was just hurt. 36-22. Okay. That was 17, right? You said?
Yep.
2017?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then Luck was back in 2018. Is this his only second season being gone? I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
crazy as that sounds.
His third, but two full seasons.
So people are saying he can come out of retirement, I guess.
So what would that streak be?
Three in a row?
Three in a row? That's nothing. We've won three in a row in Indy, haven't we? At least two in a row. I think. Maybe not. Maybe not. It's maybe just two in a row. Okay. Well, that's fun. Me and Charlie sat there and watched them last year lose. Got our ass kicked. And I sat next to Charlie. That was a win, though.
Did you go to the game?
Me and Charlie had fun.
Was that the Thursday night game?
Yeah, it was. We had fun, though.
Does Charlie not kill you with the optimism?
He's young.
That's not the excuse. You're not optimistic because you're young.
That's exactly when you're optimistic.
No.
Hayden just has an
more
old
likely,
soul.
Yes, but
and when I say old soul, I don't mean like in a cool way. When most people say I have an old soul, I mean it like as like Hayden's grandpa already.
Yeah,
not like the cool grandpa you want to hang out with either.
A lot of people say that.
Yeah, just like a grandpa, it's like you are kind of scared of because sometimes he gets mad and whips you real hard. But for the most part, he's got a kind heart. He gives you good toys. Always got candy on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Hayden. So he's already had the optimism beaten out of him. Charlie's still young. So he picked Tennessee to win, the Vols. I know he picked the Titans to win. He always picks the Titans to win. He picked Tennessee to go into the swamp and win. Is that accurate?
He said 38-34 is what he said.
38-34?
Yep.
According to Big Dumb Charlie?
Yep.
He also said the Falcons at the beginning of the year were going to win the division.
Why you got to bring them into that?
What are you doing here?
I was just stating.
Wow.
We were talking about how Charlie was wrong, and that was just another potential thing he could be wrong at.
Mm-hmm. Just like how you thought the Cowboys would win the division last year.
That's true.
Yeah, it sucks. We didn't have a quarterback get injured all season.
I believe you still said it even after he was out too.
Really a bummer that we didn't have our star QB, the leader and the face of the team, just completely get injured, break his ankle, and be out for the season. Shame that didn't happen.
I believe in Week 17 you thought the Giants were going to beat the Washington football team. Or actually, I guess the Cowboys would have had to beat the Giants. I do remember you thinking that was going to happen. But either way, I digress. We don't have to have the same argument. I don't know why you guys always get us derailed on Falcons and Cowboys talk when they both are terrible.
Really?
One's terrible.
Same record as you.
Same
record as you, buddy.
One's terrible and one is the epitome of average.
Don't talk about his Cowboys as terrible. Why are we taking all these shots all around the room?
It's coming.
Either way. Hayden, as someone who has been beaten down, what would be the most painful way to lose on Saturday? Think about it during the commercial break. We'll come back. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
So you're watching the game. And
it is Friday. We do have to get down on Friday. Tennessee, Florida. Once was a great rivalry. You guys don't remember it, but it was once a great rivalry.
What was it like back in the glory days? Can you describe it to me?
You know, I can't accurately because I was like, you know, eight. But, I mean, it stayed relevant for the next 5 years after that. But, I mean, it was the biggest game of the year, especially on – I mean, it was the biggest game on Tennessee's schedule for sure. And it was one of the two or three biggest college football games of the year. I mean, it was every bit as much anticipated, if not more, as, like, Michigan-Ohio State. Would you agree with that, Russell? From a national perspective, Tennessee, Florida in the late 90s, early 2000s, every bit as anticipated as Ohio State, Michigan. It seemed like it was right on par with that, right?
Well, I mean, that was the
right, right. Not the tradition, but the hatred and like the right. And like you had, you know, national championship implications every year.
And I feel like it like triggered the start of big time college football.
Yeah, it was probably the whereas
the
I guess
big game.
Sure.
Sometimes it was in week two.
Yeah, whereas Ohio State Michigan kind of closed the season, so that's probably true. But I mean, it set the tone for who was going to be like kind of on the inside track for the national championship. The hatred was there, not the history though. That is true. And like the SEC hadn't like fully passed the Big Ten at that point. But I mean, you guys played NCAA growing up. It was always like ranked as like one of the top two or three like rivalry games.
Yeah, it was.
They have played every year since 1990, so.
They made official in 92 that they were going to play every year, though.
I still cannot believe that, man. I still cannot believe that.
Every year since
90. I have your back, Draven, though.
I appreciate you, Hayden. You wouldn't be the one to usually do that for me, so I appreciate that.
But you also acknowledge you took a minute and 40 seconds to answer. Robert Pattinson, correct?
I mean, that's just factual, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There's not much can be said about that.
Okay, and you agree that's too long in a trivia question?
But you also should agree that somebody should like say, hey, you got 10 seconds
or 5 seconds.
Well, it should be from the guy running the trivia. Yeah, it should be not the opponent talking to me.
Every sport, sometimes there's bad calls.
Telling me.
They never gave Armando Galarraga his perfect game back.
That's true.
They still claim.
McCarr, though.
They still claim that Jabbar Gaffney caught that ball. So sometimes it just be that way.
Disgusting.
Hayden, as someone who has had their heart broken by Tennessee, Florida, what do you think the most painful outcome would be on Saturday? Is it just a ass beating that you realize like you're so far away from them and Heupel's not the guy? Is it you're there at the end and do something stupid? Maybe a bad call by the refs, a blown call like Jabbar Gaffney's gaff. Well, Nash writes in. Most painful way to lose would be have Florida ahead for most of the game. You claw your way back, get a lead in the fourth quarter, have a big defensive stand to give the ball back to us. We have time to run out the clock, but we fumble, and Florida gets the ball and is able to win as the time expires.
That's pretty descriptive there.
And that would be a bad way to lose.
My worst way to lose would be close game the whole time. And Florida, you know, Florida's probably not playing their best game if it's close. But I mean, and Tennessee's had a pretty good game plan. But you're behind there at the end. You get in the red zone. Let's just say 1 minute left. You're trying to get in. You got four downs to score. First and goal. And then you get stopped at the 1 yard line twice in a row because you're running out of the shotgun on the 1 yard line, John.
I don't have a problem with the running out of shotgun. On short yardage.
Well, as long as you have the quarterback keep it every now and then, so there's that threat. Not when you're handing the dive every single time.
Sure, but like sometimes our quarterback keeps the ball. Well, it's not really any different. I mean, honestly, for timing purposes, it's probably better to get the ball to the running back as quick as possible, right?
I mean, that's one way to look at it. It's also nice to have a running back having some momentum as he's hitting the hole when he's like 7-8 yards back.
What if the hole is closed? There's, you know, if you, especially on the goal line, there's not really chances for too many cutbacks on the goal line, right?
I mean, the hole could be closed on either one.
Right, but if you get it quickly, maybe you have time to adjust. I don't know. I just think that's something overblown whenever, like, it doesn't work. Everyone's like, oh, I got a shotgun. I've seen plenty of guys get stopped under center and like hand the ball off and get hit 2 yards in the backfield. Now, you know, the sneak, maybe that's a different story if you're saying just sneak it. But
especially with your massive, strong quarterback.
Well, yeah. I mean, Hooker was out of the game whenever that, or Hooker was in the game and not Milton whenever that happened. I don't know if I consider him massive, but either way. What hurts worse, a blown lead that you lose or having a comeback, like Nash said, and then having it like fall short. Like either you get the lead and then blow it, they come back and win, or you maybe fall just a little short of a big comeback. What hurts worse?
blown lead for sure.
Blown lead hurts worse?
I mean, wouldn't you think?
It's how big the lead is.
Well, sure. I mean, yeah, if you blow a 60-point lead, that's probably going to hurt pretty good. But I don't know. I felt like, I mean, one of the most devastating losses. Most of the devastating losses I could think of are the ones where we had a comeback that fall short, really. I don't know. Maybe that's in basketball, but like that Purdue game, you had the big comeback. You got off to such a slow start. Then you showed clearly you're the better team. You showed clearly. Like, very rarely does the team that – I don't know if this is accurate, but in my mind I'm thinking that very rarely does the better team fall apart. Is that right? Like, I mean, I feel like very rarely does the better team get up big and then just, like, blow a lead.
Alabama blew a pretty big lead there.
They still won, though.
They still found a way, yeah.
They still won, though. But sure, there is one. Maybe that's not correct. I feel like it's usually the team that's overmatched that gets up early that can't close.
Right.
Because I feel like in most instances, if the better team gets up big, the other team's just going to kind of fold themselves.
The worst is still just the game ending on a controversial call. Just a controversial call. That's still the absolute worst. That would be the heartbreaker. If we're actually in the game and then we get some pass interference or something crazy or a player throwing a shoe or whatever happens, I mean, that would be pretty devastating in my opinion.
Just when the refs come into play?
Yes.
Even if it's the right call, you're just like, oh, man, what are we doing?
Right.
Diamond says getting boat raced is the worst way to lose. I mean,
I don't think that's right.
I don't think so either.
I mean, you can turn the game off early. I mean, sure, you're getting embarrassed, but I mean, we're used to getting embarrassed. Like,
I was going to say, a lot of blowouts.
I mean, in any typical game, I don't think Donovan's right, but I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think he's talking about for the Tennessee lens. Like, Titans got their ass beat by the Cardinals week one. It sucked, but there's worse ways to lose. However, in this situation, Tennessee versus Florida, this, again, represents so much about what we're going to feel about Josh Heupel in year one.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe set the tone for his entire tenure here. Like, if you get beat in your first game against Florida by 30-plus, I don't want to say he can never come back from that, because that seems extreme.
It would be hard, though.
But, I mean, like, basically, whatever goodwill he has left, and I don't even know if he has any goodwill left after the Pittsburgh game. And it's not all his fault, as I've always said. Like, I feel like people have kind of soured on Danny White. People weren't in love with the Heupel hire as it is anyways. And there's, you know, a decade plus of embarrassment attached to this Tennessee football program. Heupel's kind of paying for those sins on top of not being very charismatic and not trying hard to kind of sell the fan base. But, man, if you go out there and just get absolutely mollywopped and embarrassed, I don't know how you would have any support left. Because if you get mollywopped and embarrassed, like, what? How does that happen? Either your team is very sloppy and turns the ball over five times, or your offense just doesn't score, your quarterback play is bad, and you're also, like, tiring your defense out, and they're just getting absolutely gashed. Or you look around and say, wow, we hired Tim Banks to come be our defensive coordinator, and he gave up 50 points in the swamp. What kind of hire was that? So I do agree with Donovan in this particular case. In other games, I would say no.
Yeah.
Sometimes I kind of like getting down early. Because my favorite way to win is the comeback win. I mean, I think we all agree with that, right? Or do you just want to, like, just be up the whole game? Because my favorite type of win is the comeback win.
It'd be just like a close back-and-forth game would be pretty fun as well.
That you gut out?
That's fun. Oh, comeback wins are stressful, man. They can be stressful.
But when my Hawks came back twice against the Sixers, I was living, man. That was fun. Maybe it's more fun in basketball.
But you were down bad, though, what, the whole first half, basically?
Yeah. Well, I know, but knowing that I won, I was up good.
Yeah.
Never gave up hope.
Never gave up hope, Cam said. Like, to me, that's the idea. Like, every time I'm in a game, I'm kind of like, okay, I'm okay if we're down, like, 7 or 10 early.
I don't buy that. Especially I don't buy that. I believe it with Cam. Optimistic Cam over there, but you, no. And for me, too, like, if we're down 21-0, something like that, like, I'm throwing stuff. I'm mad. I'm thinking the game's over.
Like I said, maybe in football it's a little different, but man, like when you actually did beat Florida in 2016, that would have been the script I would write.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, right? Was that not the perfect win? You fall down early and then you just, like, dominate
the rest of the
way, entire second half? Like, that's the perfect way to win.
And it was one of those things we're talking about where the best team was the one storming back, and it was the worst team that had gotten up early that didn't have the actual talent to stop the comeback. And I don't think very often you could do that on the road.
That's a little different in the swamp.
I don't want Tennessee to fall behind early for against Florida for the prospect of them being able to come back. No, I don't want that.
What do we expect from the Florida quarterback situation? I mean, is it just rotating? I know they talked about both guys getting in, but I'm curious how that's going to play out.
There's two lines of thinking. Some people think that Richardson would not be cleared, that they'll hold him out another week.
Still banged up. Do we know what he injured?
It was it his quad? His hamstring? I'm not sure. Okay. Hamstring, I believe.
Look it up.
So some people think they could hold him out of that again. I didn't mean to say quad. I meant to say groin or hamstring. I feel like it's one of those. Or like what I think is going to happen is that Emory Jones struggles in the first half, and then Richardson saves him. And it's like the passing of the torch.
It was a hamstring injury, yep.
Like, that's personally what I think is going to happen.
We'd all rather Emory Jones play, right?
Yeah. For sure. And, like, I know Emory Jones played pretty well against Alabama. That's fine. I'll still take my chances. Like, if Tennessee loading the box up and really trying to stop the run and just make him beat you as a passer, that feels like the only chance Tennessee has. Now, they ran the ball all over Alabama.
I was going to say, he didn't have a ton of passing yards. I didn't think he got to 200.
Well, he was just – I mean, he's another, type of running back there. I mean, he's right. It's a very poor man's version. When I was watching the Alabama game, at least, I'm not going to pretend like I watched Emory Jones against South Florida or – was it FAU they were playing? I'm not going to pretend I watched that game. But against Alabama, when I was watching Florida, it felt to me like a very poor man's version of the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah. Where sometimes you have Lamar back there just as a power running back, and you've got runs designed perfectly for that, doing a lot of handoff options, and then or you're also like trying to hit those short passes across the middle of the field.
They're situationally smart with throwing the football, basically.
It's the same offense Mullen ran with Dak and, and Nick. It's more so what he ran with Nick Fitzgerald. Running the ball more than passing the ball, really.
Yeah.
Because Zach was a lot better than Emory Jones. He could throw the ball a lot better, in college.
We are at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. We are here till 6 o'clock. Russell will be here holding it down. And then tomorrow, an all-day tailgate party, 50-cent wings, $11 for a 12-inch two-topping pizza. That's what we're eating right now. I'm stuffed. The food here. It's fantastic. You can also throw some axes. A little dinner and a show action. Come here, throw some axes, but really, make sure you eat the food. You won't be disappointed. Make it a dinner date night. Let's go to break. We'll come back with our week. What week are we in, Hayden? Week 4? Our week 4 college football picks brought to you by FanDuel. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Craft axe throwing is a... We are back on the program. Our week 4 college football picks against the spread are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. All of the spreads we use here will be brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. And keep in mind, they're giving you a risk-free $10 bet every week in the NFL. Thursday night is a great opportunity. They say, now if you take Christian McCaffrey and his bum hamstring, oof.
Vegas won big on his prop bets last night.
I would imagine so. He went under on all of them. Bum. By the way, great call by you, Draven. Injury prone. What a loser.
Well, there's a board bet about that. I just saw that.
Yeah, you versus it's Kamara. McCaffrey versus Kamara, right? Although
What was the board bet?
It's just who has more fantasy points, I think.
McCaffrey's injury prone take.
I did. Well, I mean, everybody kind of knew that a little bit.
Well, Cam disagreed, and you might be in the early what, what's there.
Hey, don't worry. They both have 2 6-point fantasy weeks already.
Well, that's what I was going to say is that, like, Kamara might as well have not played last week, so they're kind of even so far. The NFL is back. It's rolling. You can take advantage of their free, risk-free same-game parlay bet. Just place a same-game parlay with 3 legs or more. If your bet wins, you keep the cash. If it doesn't, they'll pay you back up to $10. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. And when you win, you get paid fast. If you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, you can also claim exclusive 30-1 odds on Monday night's Cowboys versus Eagles game. And if you use the promo code TALKSPORTS when you sign up, you also get your risk-free bet up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win your first bet. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit. That expires in 7 days. Max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com.
Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on the mobile and web. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. What are you guys looking at? You don't have enough time to make your picks? What's happening here?
No, Hayden keeps touching my leg.
Oh, that's fine. You two are nice over there. You'd be sweet. All right, Hayden, you're coming off of another rough week, 4-7. Before we start, how many games do you have on the card?
Six. We've cut it down this week. We've cut it down almost in half this week.
It's about time.
Being a little bit too aggressive last week. We're trying to get back too quick.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I think so.
It's almost like I told you that. Well, it's almost like Cam told you that.
Okay. You were right, John. You were right. That's what you want to hear.
That's not what I want to hear. It's just I'm sorry for not listening is really what I want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Don't acknowledge I'm right. I know I'm right. I need to know if you're sorry. Mm-hmm. Are you sorry is what I'm trying to hear.
We're running out of time here. So.
Well, I got enough. We can delay picks if it's going to get me a good I'm sorry. Are you sorry?
No.
Okay, well, I hope you go winless again.
Wow.
Well, I haven't been winless yet. So, all right. This week, college football. I'm feeling good about it, John. I'm feeling better about it this week just because I had about nine or ten picks this week. Kind of cut that down to my best bets starting off at noon tomorrow.
So, how many do you have?
I have six. I've cut
six.
Cut four out. So,
five. You had 11 last week.
Well, yeah. Okay. So,
Jesus Christ.
Noon tomorrow. I like Notre Dame.
So we've gotten away from the 5 o'clock, the Friday games. Just for the record.
Yeah, I kind of liked some of those Friday night games, but we're just gonna retire with the winning record on Friday night, I think. So that's pretty much the move.
Without the Friday games, you'd be well below 500. You might need to only do the Friday games. But either way, I digress. Go ahead.
All right, Notre Dame plus 6.5 versus Wisconsin, the big noon game tomorrow, game day game. At 6 o'clock tomorrow night, like UCLA minus 5.5 bounce back spot at Stanford. I think UCLA is pretty good. I just think Fresno is better. I think people are really like talking about Stanford like they're good. They've beat USC late night game, weird game, and they scored a lot on Vanderbilt. Like I don't think they're great. I like Louisiana Lafayette minus 14 at Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern is terrible. Lafayette's all right. I think they cover 14. I like Kentucky minus 5 on the road at South Carolina tomorrow night, and Kansas State plus 5.5 at Oklahoma State. Went against Kansas State last week. I think Kansas State's pretty good. Their quarterback's pretty good. I do not think Oklahoma State's very good. I think their offense sucks. I think their defense is good. Defensive game, both good defenses on both sides. I think it's a close game. Plus 5.5 at Kansas State. And my lock of the week, John, I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to do it.
Coastal? Who are they playing?
They play UMass. It spreads like 40-something. Right, I don't want to mess with that.
Okay. The Vols?
The Tennessee Volunteers.
Wow.
That's your plus 18.5.
That's
wow.
your
lock. The Florida Gators.
That's your lock of the week.
Hey, and I will say, I am the only one undefeated in college football lock of the week. So I'm 3-0. No one else is even close.
Well, there's the kiss of death right there. Let me start bragging about it. The pride goes before the fall, my friends.
Wow. Locking it in, huh?
What quite the turnaround from Monday, whenever Tennessee was going to lose by 30.
Chili's getting hot.
Your chili's getting hot? For the 2-1 Vols? Well, that took forever, so I guess we'll – who wants to go next, Cam or Draven? We only got time for one other person this hour. Cam or Draven?
Go ahead, Cam.
Okay, well, I got
Cam's red hot.
Yep.
Cam's red hot, by the way.
Yep.
What are you, 8-1 your last 2 weeks?
9-1.
9-1. Oh, my bad. I didn't mean to short you on a win there.
Yeah, I'm trying to make the people some money, so I got 7 more for you. I got West Virginia plus 17.5 against Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma is just – they haven't looked great this year. They have not looked great at all. I think West Virginia's got enough juice to stay within that total. All you need there. I got Kentucky minus 4.5 against South Carolina. I think they're just going to dominate and bully that South Carolina team with a quarterback starting for the first time this season. I think Kentucky gets the win there. I have Michigan minus 20.5 against Rutgers. Michigan hasn't let me down yet this season. They've covered every game so far. And juice is on Rutgers right now. Though. I'm sorry?
That seems like a big spread, though.
Yeah, I think I can get 3 touchdowns, though. And the juice is on Rutgers right now to cover that. So maybe wait to see if you can get it a little lower than 20.5. But I think they can win by 21 in that game. I have Colorado State at Iowa under 44.5 points. Iowa goes under at home. Going to keep rolling with that. I had Arkansas plus 5.5 versus A&M. I think it's down to 4.5 now on FanDuel. I think I would still roll with that. I think that was going to be a close game, worst case. I think Arkansas can actually just win that outright, but I think they will be within a field goal when it comes down to it. I also have the under in that game. I got it at under 47.5. I think it's dropped down to 46.5 now. I think I'd still roll with that as well. Probably about down to like 45 or so, I think, actually. But, yeah, I'm rolling with the under in that game as well. And my lock of the week, I have Notre Dame and Wisconsin under 45.5 points. I think that's just going to be a defensive battle. Two not great offenses going at it, too, and they like to run the ball. It's going to be a low-scoring game.
So under, what was it, 45.5 you said?
Yes.
Jack Cohn revenge game.
How many years did he actually play at Wisconsin? Was he was a starter for a while, right?
Yeah, I feel like it was
I want to say two or three. Yeah.
I mean, it does seem like a low-scoring game. I agree with you there, Cam. All right, so run down those real quick again one more time.
West Virginia plus 17.5, Kentucky minus 4.5, Michigan minus 20.5, Colorado State and Iowa under 44.5, Arkansas plus 5.5 at Texas A&M, reverse Texas A&M, Texas A&M and Arkansas under 47.5, and Notre Dame, Wisconsin under 45.5.
All right, hour two in the books. Draven, hold yours for hour three.
Will do.
I'll also hold mine. Hayden took way too long.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, it was a pretty long ad read, if you ask me.
Excuse me?
It's a pretty long ad read.
We'll kick off hour three with headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
So you're watching the